Hello, everybody. Tonight I'd like to speak on a verse out of Matthew. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. And the verse reads this. It says, "Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be open." Let's just pray for a minute. Father, we just lift this next couple minutes up to you. And Father, I just pray that you'll be with me, that the word might be clear. Help me not to stumble. And Father, we just thank you for everybody who's here tonight. And we just lift this time up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I put a little title on this talk. I'm not really big on titles, but it's called Prayer Changes Things. And what I'd like to do is relate an experience in my life that relates to this verse. And back in 95, 97 time frame, I worked for a company, Lucent Technologies, which was the old Western Electric, and my job was, I was the methods and procedures guy for a back office for a sales team. And our sales team at the time was the GTE company. And GTE had just gotten a big cable contract. And we had to really gear up to handle all these cable orders that would be coming in. And at the time, we had two big cable plants. One was in Atlanta and the other was in Phoenix. So because of the location of GTE, their headquarters was in Irving, Texas, they decided to put this operation out in Phoenix. Well, it was my job to kind of spearhead this and get out there and get the systems implemented and do training and all that kind of thing. So went out there, first time for a week or so, and they had a group of about 20 people that were selected for this customer service group. And I had a few friends of mine who supported different computer systems out there, and we spent the week kind of putting things together and training and doing all kinds of stuff. Now, they had two ladies who were coordinators, going to be coordinators. One of them, her name was Rylene Cornelius. That's a name I will never, ever forget in my whole life. The other lady's name was Sharon. I forget her last name, but she was wonderful. She was very nice. And every evening when me and my counterparts would have dinner, there was always a Rylene story. Oh, hey. You know what she said today? Oh, you know what she wanted to do? Oh, you know what she told? It was always something about Rylene. And she was a little bit of a stumbling block. Now, we got the thing up and running, and I thought things were going pretty well. And I started getting phone calls from Rylene. "Tico, this isn't working. I don't like this. You need to change this." It was always something very negative. Drove me crazy. It continued on. I got to the point where when the phone rang, I didn't know who was on the phone back then because you couldn't tell. So I'd answer the phone and it'd be Rylene. And immediately the hair would go up on the back of my neck. And it was really a bad situation. It got so bad, when I would go out there, her and I really couldn't be in the same room together. I mean, it would end up in some kind of shouting match or whatever. It was just a bad situation. And it was really starting to affect my life. I mean, I was a wreck because of this woman. And I'm ashamed to tell you that I hated this woman. If I would have heard that this woman had dropped dead on her way to work one morning, I would have probably gotten a couple friends together and we'd have gone out and had dinner somewhere. But I just couldn't deal with it. And it really got to, it was really affecting my life. And what I did, I finally came to the point, I said, I need to deal with this. Somehow, I need to deal with this situation and this woman. So I came up with the idea, I'm going to start praying for her every single day. Now, her husband, Mark, he was a supervisor in the shop. Real nice guy. Him and I were good friends. And I'd pray for her, and I'd pray for Mark, and I'd pray for their kids. And every day. And I made sure I prayed for good things. You know, I didn't pray that Raleigh would have a car accident on the way to work or anything. But I prayed for good things for her family and for her kids. I forget her kids' names. But things continued not to go well. The person that she worked for, the supervisor she reported to out there, a guy named Phil Davidson. Phil called me about a month ago, and we kind of reconnected. And he said, hey, remember what a great time we had in Phoenix putting that group together? And I thought, are you serious? I mean, we had different recollections of the whole experience. But anyhow, Phil was no help at all. I would call Phil and say, Phil, look, you need to do something with Raleigh. Because in my job, you can't have this person and this person and that person calling in and making changes because somebody has to coordinate that stuff. Because if you change this, it might affect this. Or if you change this, it could affect something else. And there was no control over what this lady was doing. So I continued to pray. And I'd pray for her. And she'd call me up. And we'd end up slamming the phone down. It's amazing. My phone could have been a good test model for the AT&T telephone equipment. Because some days I slammed that phone down. And I thought, ah. But I kept praying for it. Every day I prayed that good things would happen to Raleigh. Now, after about a month of this, we had a thing called a vertical conference. And what a vertical conference was in Lucent is that they would bring in higher-ups from the company. And then they'd all also have people in lower-level jobs. And we'd bring a whole group together. And they would talk about issues and what's coming up and different things. But it's a big conference so that everybody could communicate from the bottom to the top. So I was working on something else, and I was not in this meeting. And wasn't long after it started, that our fourth level came out. Now, fourth level's pretty good, pretty high. He comes in and he sits in my cubicle, and him and I were real good buddies. And he sat down and he says, what in the world did you do to Rylene? I said, what are you talking about? He said, she's all over you in there. I thought, are you kidding me? So once again, I'm getting tense. You know, I'm thinking this woman's in there talking to me. Shortly after he left, a lady came in who worked in our group. And she sat down and she said, TK, it is awful what that lady's saying about you in that room. She said, I was so angry I could spit, she said. And I'm thinking, this is not good. And now we're actually in the same building. She's not in Phoenix and I'm in Greensboro, but we're in the same building. And I was really tempted to go into the meeting, and I thought, no, no, no. So I continued to pray for Raleigh, and I continued to pray for her husband and her kids, and I just prayed good things would happen. Now, one day, I'd had enough. So I went down to the development group, the computer people. And I was talking to a lady. Her name is Denise Troxler, no relation to Paul. But Denise, when I first came to Greensboro, I had no idea what I was doing in this job. I used to call Susan. I was here for about eight weeks before she came, and I would call her and say, you know, I'm in deep trouble here. Because I was going to meetings after meetings, and we would leave, and my boss would say, now, you got that, don't you? And I, oh, yeah, I got it. And I'm thinking, what in the world were they talking about? So there was the people in the development group really took good care of me because they knew I didn't know anything. And they really helped me out. And there was one lady, her name was Denise Troxler. Now, at this point, I'd known Denise for 10 years or longer. So I went down to the development group to tell them, under no circumstances are you supposed to take a request from Raleen. You know, everything's supposed to come through me, and that's how it's supposed to work. So I went down there, and I'm talking to Denise, and Denise was at my 40th birthday surprise party. And we're talking about different things, historical things, and things that we had done through the 10 years. And then I brought up, I said, hey, look, I need to talk to you about Raleen. I said, she's driving me crazy. And she told me, she says, well, what's the problem? And I began to tell her about all the frustration and you know, just Raleen stuff. And she says, you know, I think Raleen's pretty good. She says, I think Raleen's got some pretty good ideas sometimes. And I'm thinking, are you serious? And she said, you know, she told me a few things about you. I said, really? She said, yeah. She says, you're hard to, I wrote a few things down here to help me keep them in mind. Where was it? Not approachable. I wasn't approachable. I was hard to deal with. Anything she said, I would immediately put down. Now, this is Denise telling me this. And Denise is a lady I have a lot of respect for. And I left that meeting with Denise, and it just made me start to think. And I thought, unapproachable? You know, hard to deal with. That wasn't a picture that I really had of myself. And for some reason, things started to change a little bit after that. For example, Raleen would call me and say, hey, Tico, I had an idea. What do you think of this? Instead of, this is stupid. I don't know why you did this. You know, whatever it might have been, but things started to change a little bit. And I thought, wow. But I continued to pray. Every day, I prayed for Raleen, and I prayed for Mark, and I prayed for the family. And I started to do a little self-evaluation. And going back to... especially after the vertical conference, in relation to our verse, I really started to question, everyone who seeks receives? Is that really true? I mean, I've been praying every day now for months, and nothing's happening. And I'm thinking, everybody who prays receives? Well, I'm not receiving this big light yet. You know, it's not coming. And I talked to Denise and things started to change a little bit. I could see some changes. And I started to do a little bit of self-evaluation. And I thought to myself, am I threatened by this woman? Is this woman really a threat to me for some reason? Do I have some insecurity that she's really pushing that button? Am I maybe not quite as important as I thought I was? Maybe she's got a better way of doing something. And all these ideas started coming to me. And everything started to change. And I think some things started to change with me. And after that talk with Denise, and after I really started to self-evaluate the whole situation, you know, I came to the point that, you know, maybe, just maybe, the problem was with me. And God really started talking to me. And going into this, you know, I'm going out to Phoenix, you know, I'm going to set this organization up, you know, and everybody's calling me, you know, with questions and doing, and I was, my head was just getting bigger and bigger. I thought, man, this is great. And the more I started thinking about it, I thought, you know what? God's bringing me back down. This whole thing, I'm not saying Raleen wasn't at fault. I'm not giving her a free pass here at all. She's hard to deal with, but not everybody's easy to deal with. And when you have a job like that, you got to deal with everybody. And I should have been able to deal with Raleen. And I should have gave a lot more than I gave. And I should have thought about some things. And I didn't. Because it was all about me and it was all about I. I want to do this. Look, are you questioning me? And God really, really spoke to my life, spoke to me. And what happened is, Raleen and I, at the end, when the bottom fell out of Lucent and, you know, things were closing up, Raleen and I were very, very good friends. Used to be, I would go out there, as soon as I go into the door, we would have a meeting with Phil, kind of a State of the Union meeting, how things going, and Raleen and I, Sharon would say, oh, I could hear you hollering through the door. She says, I didn't know what was going to happen, you know, and then I'd come out or Phil would come out, but now I would go out there and we'd hug and, you know, how you doing, and hey, how's this working, and we became good friends. Had dinner at Raleen's house several times. Now, she's in Phoenix. Now, the first time, I'm sitting at the kitchen table waiting for dinner to happen. And Mark comes in and he opens the freezer up and he starts throwing these things on the kitchen table. These round things. I thought they were pizzas or something. And I looked at them and the rattlesnakes. He's got them curled up. He's got them wrapped up in the freezer. And one of Mark's big things was he goes out for this rattlesnake roundup and gets these rattlesnakes and cut the head off and the tail, and there's a market for that stuff. And he's putting these things in, hey, how you like this? How you like that? And I'm going like, whoa, you know, that's a snake. And but we got along great. Everything changed. And when I look back at that verse, the one who seeks finds, I didn't find what I intended. Because I wasn't a bad guy. The problem was with Raleen. The problem was not with me. And when I started praying every day, God worked that thing out. And he did a 360 on that thing. And the problem wasn't with Raleen. The problem was with me. Life lesson. Learned. Now that's been a long time ago. And hopefully I've learned a few more things since then. But this was a real learning experience in my life. And when I read that verse now, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds. And you might find some things a little different than you first intended. And for me, God really spoke to my heart, and I'm just really thankful that first of all, I knew enough and I was grounded enough to know what should I do here, and I started praying, And that really saved the whole thing, because I was spinning out of control. I didn't know what I was going to do, but this woman was just killing my life. She was just affecting me so strong. I had trouble sleeping at night and all, but when I started praying, it took a while. Wasn't on my timetable, but eventually God brought the whole thing around, and the problem was me. So, title of this was Prayer Changes Things, and I'd just like to read this verse one more time. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Father, we just thank you again for this time. Father, I thank you for intervening in my life and showing me things. And Father, I just marvel at the fact that just these simple truths, just praying to you each day, Father, you turn that whole situation around. You turn my life around, Father. Father, I just thank you for the insights that you were able to give me into myself. And Father, we just take a moment. We pray for Raleen tonight. We pray for her husband and her family. And I continue to lift her up to you and just pray that you'll be with her and good things will happen. And Father, I'm not sure where she is spiritually. And I just pray that if she doesn't belong to you, that you'll intervene and bring her to you, her and Mark. And I just thank you for the experience. I thank you for the opportunity tonight to share. And Father, we just ask as we go our separate ways now, as we go home, that your hand will be upon us. We pray that this time will be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen.